Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
It's a real privilege, but it's also a responsibility when you're asked to share God's word. And this morning, just before that, I'd just like to pray. God, our God and Father, we come into your presence this morning. We're going to speak about your name, O God, this morning. And you know, we come in reverence, we come in awe that you're a God that is faithful. You're a God that is in a waiting that we have sung about this morning. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that again my voice would completely disappear this morning. And it's your voice, again, that's going to be here. Father, just let me fade into the background, that you come to the forefront this morning and speak and minister to your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't this a great summer, eh? I just love the kind of weather. Last summer, again, it was pretty, we were working with a lot of them, but this year, what a joy it is. And I'm so happy the children are off on holiday, and the forecast is still good. Because so often we see great weather, kids get up on holiday, and everything changes for the worse. So we just pray that the kids and teenagers and the teachers would have a great summer again in Peterhead or if they're on our travels. I want to turn to the Word of God, and I want to look at a little bit of the life of Abraham. Again today, and we're going to read quite a few verses in one chapter only, and that's in chapter 22. For most of you, this will be a very well-known story, but we are going to read, again, the story of Abraham and Isaac when he was offered as a sacrifice. So, chapter 22 and in verse 1. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering. And arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and I will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then I, Abraham, lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket of thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now, often we stop the reading at that point, but I want to read the next few verses. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. I'm sure God will bless the reading of his word. God's word will say more than whatever I can say this morning. Again, the title is Say My Name, and that is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I have absolutely enjoyed meditating again upon the life of Abraham over this last, again, couple of weeks since I spoke to Pastor Neil, and just really trying to understand more about Abraham rather than just read this story in Genesis 22, where we can say that Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. I look around about this church today, and I really want each one of us, each one of you, to really just hold on to what God has said over your life, what God is saying over the life of Apex Church, what God is saying over the town of Peterhead, what God is saying over the nation of Scotland and the United Kingdom. I am Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And I want to really be an encouragement to you today. Whatever you're going through, I was so blessed when the worship team sung that song, In the Waiting. In the Waiting. When I was thinking about the life of Abraham, which it really was a life of waiting, which I'm going to unpack in over the next few minutes. But just for you today, there's maybe things in your life that you're in the waiting. You're maybe, it's not an easy journey. It's not an easy time in your life. You're looking maybe for direction from God. I want to tell you that in the waiting, there's going to be a time that you can testify like Abraham, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I want you to look back over your life even this morning. And you might think, well, this is where I'm at today, but I'll look at faces this morning. I know who the Lord has provided in a mighty, mighty way in your life. It's different things in your life which is personal to you, but the Lord has provided. God is your Jehovah Jireh today. And you've got to hold on to that again as you move forward. Not knowing even at times that God has provided, you maybe haven't even recognized it, but God is your provider. Amen. When we read Genesis 22, we realize that when Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old. Now, I just hope that Niels Dalmani is, and I said he's still going along when he's 100. And I'll be an encouragement to us. But Abraham, he was, I would say, young at heart. Again, his wife Sarah, she was 90 when Isaac was born. So he started to do the maths. When this story happened, I believe Isaac was a teenager, so Abraham must have been over 110 years old. And then God comes along, and this is the promised son, the promised son. And again, he's asked to, he loves his son, his only son, the promised son, and they go and lay him on the altar. Oftentimes in this story, it's often said that God wanted again, Abraham's only son, Isaac. I want to tell you this. The story isn't about God wanting Abraham's only son, Isaac. God didn't want the son, Isaac. He wanted Abraham's heart. I'm going to say that again. God didn't want Abraham's son, Isaac. God wanted the heart of Abraham. And I really feel this morning, that's what God wants from each one of us. He doesn't want something that we can maybe put on the altar, like if it's a financial offering, if I can say that this morning. God wants your heart. God wants your life. Young people, it's making decisions in school and in university and in careers. God wants your heart. God wants your heart today. People that's, again, this church, and you may be single, and you're looking for a right partner in life to go and get married. First of all, God wants your heart. If you're looking for promotion in life, again, your occupation. First of all, God wants your heart. God wants your heart. And God wanted Abraham's heart, this test, again, of faith. And we come to this story that Again, if you look back over the life of Abraham, there's been his trials, there's been his challenges. But this day for the man, it's probably over 110. He's going to have to climb this mountain that God has shown him. And I want to tell you this, there's going to be tests and there's going to be challenges in your life, as there's been in my life. It doesn't matter which row of the church, from the front row all the way to the back, downstairs where the kids are, we're all going to have to face challenges. We'll have to go face tests again from God. But God is saying here, lay something on the altar for me, Abraham. I want your heart. And God's maybe saying to you this one, I want you to lay something that's dear to your life. I want you to lay it on the altar for me. What's taking up your time that's keeping you from God? God's maybe saying that thing that's precious to you that you spend so much time on, lay it on the altar for me. Give me more of your time. Spend time with me. Because through that will come blessings. Again, as blessings came to Abraham. If you lay something in the altar, I'm going to tell you this morning, God will come along and he will bless you in ways that you've never imagined again in your lifetime. But going up mountains isn't easy. And again, but God says, just lay everything down and just trust me. Again, the faith that Abraham had and how he was able to say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, again, is my provider. Abraham set out on this journey. It took him 3 days to get there. And eventually they saw the place afar off. They saw the mountain. And up they went the mountain. And I'm quite sure that couldn't have been easy. And I'm thinking of this man over 110 years old. And I'm thinking, going up this mountain, I wonder if Abraham ever felt like giving up. Eh? I thought he's over 110 and maybe hot weather like we've been enjoying. And maybe he saw that mountain and he's going up and thinking, hey, can I serve? This is a tall order. It's a tall ask from God to give up my son, whom I love dearly. And I just wondered about giving up. Eh? Giving up. And each one of us as a Christian is a believer in our life. I'm sure there's times in that it's easy just to come along and say, the journey's too hard. Things aren't going right. There's maybe relationships, whatever it might be. We're in a difficult place, and it's easier to sit at home than come out to church. And we're glad to see each one of you here today. But the Christian journey isn't an easy journey, and it would be so, so easy just to give up. But if Abraham had given up, he wouldn't have got the blessing of going right to the mountaintop. I'll get some pictures here, AJ. Right, that's a mountaintop experience, Eddie. Back in 2011, Phil Buchan organised a men's day out. And let's go to Benahi. Hey, right? I never been up Benahi in my life, okay? So I'd seen the place afar off, but I never climbed up. So I started going up, and never been up before. And we get, and I think, the closer we got to the east end of Benahi, it looked a lot steeper, right? It's like a treadmill wheel. It looked a lot steeper than from just driving down the road up the Maruri. And we got Benahi, the men's trip out, and we started going. And I'm used to walking on a flat, okay? And people that's been at Benahi know the east end. You go up through the tree line, and my heart was starting to do things it's never ever done before. I think that's strange. And it goes up through the tree line. Matthew Morgan's not here today. Him and his guys, they were gone. They were gone. And there's other guys getting the next picture as well. There's this gentleman, it's up in heaven today, it's called Bash. And Bash is, he's away, and it's Peter Anquetil. These two, they're gone. And they're away up. But my heart was really, something's gone wrong. And I must admit, I had thoughts. I know Annette had prepared mint soup and lentil soup, right? And we were going to come to, we were going to eat soup for our lunch. And I'm thinking about soup. I think I could easily turn to base camp. No problem, right? But hey, we kept going. The next picture as well. And we get to the top. And there's a youthful Jason Park there, eh? Right? But hey, we got to the top. And I can tell you the blessing. I'm glad I kept going. I kept going. And even the last picture, look at this one. There's always a stop in Ella for an ice cream, Phil. Right? But hey, the Jehovah Jireh, Phil, the Lord will provide. I would soup and we had ice cream. And I've never forgot that day. How easy halfway up I could have turned back. And I want to tell you today, Jehovah Jireh, you're maybe in a waiting. I want to tell you, it's so, so easy, again, to turn back, again, in our life. Can I have notes prepared? I've finished with my notes, right? Because just with the song this morning, and I'm going to keep this short, again, today, I've changed my mind with my notes. And I'm really thinking, I've spent time thinking of Abraham and his life, how he started his life. Started in the Ur of the Chaldeans, that's out in where we've got Iraq today. And he went from Ur to Haran with his dad. And when he was 75 years old, Haran is like north Iraq, top of Syria. And God comes to Abraham, 75 years old, said, take your wife, Sarah. She had no children, she was barren, as the Bible would say. And take everything that you own and go to a land that I'm going to bless you. And God's speaking to Abraham, and I'm going to take you to this land. And you're going to possess this land, and you're going to have descendants that will become a great nation. And yet, you're no child. And we learn about Abraham with obedience, that he packed everything up and he moved. Now, I've lived in Beirut all my days. I've moved house really only once after I'd been married. But I've never had to pack up and move on. And yet, I'm thinking, Abraham, moving to a new city, a new land, a new territory. But there's obedience in the call of God. And I'm looking around this room, the call of God in your life, just to be obedient, again, to an Abraham. Because you see, if we just read Genesis chapter 22, and we only look at that chapter about this test of faith and the call when he said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. We don't really get it. It's like you going to a book and just going to the second last chapter and trying to read that chapter and understand the whole book. You kind of do it. It's like going to a box set, on a TV, and just going to the second last program, on a box set. You haven't learned about the character in the previous maybe six, again, programs. And this is way Abraham's life. It's like a box set. You can't just look at number 8 or the second last chapter. You've got to look at his whole life to realize, why does Abraham say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider? Because you see, God had spoken to an Abraham, and Abraham made that obedient, and he moved on in a call of God in his life. And Abraham, again, he moves into the land of Canaan, and then a famine comes, and he goes to Egypt, and it doesn't tell us that he consulted God. And he went to Egypt, and he got himself in a bad problem. He told a white lie, and he got him in a problem, and yet that problem had to be addressed again by Pharaoh. But again, there came a time, he left the land of Egypt. He said he was a rich man. He had many, many goods. He had livestock. He said he had silver and gold. He was a rich man, and he came back up to Canaan. And Lot, his nephew was with him on a journey. Lot's father had died, and again, he likes sort of like his uncle's hand, a relative's hand, on the life of Lot. And Lot also, again, came up, and he was a rich man. And eventually, there's not enough land to meet the needs of the animals, and a parted company. And I love this, that, again, Abraham's heart, he gave his nephew the first choice of the land. He was senior. He should have picked, he should have chosen. But I want to tell you, Abraham, he wasn't a selfish man. And He let Lot go first. Two times in Lot's experience, Abraham has to rescue him. One time, again, invaders, the enemy came into the land and captured Lot and took him away. And again, Abraham got the troops, his friend, and they went and rescued Lot. I love what it says here, that again, Lot was rescued, and the king of Sodom, again, all his possessions, the king's possessions, was taken back. And it was rightfully Abraham's. He had conquered. And yet Abraham says to the king of Sodom, take everything back. And the king said, no, it's yours. You're the conqueror. He said, apart from my expenses, the bread and what it's cost us to travel, I'm giving you everything back, because there'll never be said that I am rich because of the king of Solomon's goods. I like that. This is an honorable man. And I want to tell you, we've got to have integrity. We've got to be honourable and do the right thing in our lives. And that's so, again, there's no quick buck being made again by Abraham. Again, he was in tune with God. See, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Why should I depend on the king of Sodom's goods when the Lord's got to provide? And for you today, you'll have challenges in your life when things might look too easy to get something, but is it the right decision to take it? Or if it says, this from the Lord, should I move forward, should I take this opportunity and things like that? See, you've got to understand that Abraham, before Genesis 22, to understand. Again, to understand him. Again, it was another time, again, he made a mistake, again, Abraham. Again, he told another lie, same lie he told in Egypt. I want to tell you this, it was just the king, Abimelech, that's a difficult one to pronounce, eh? And again, he made the same mistake twice. He said, this isn't my wife, this is my sister. He said it twice. And again, I want to tell you this, that we can look at great men of God, and they're no different from you and me. We all make mistakes. I'll put my hand up and I'll say, I've made mistakes. I've said a wrong thing, I've made a wrong decision, said a wrong thing. But again, God was gracious to Abraham and forgave him. He forgives each one of us again today. I like that when I think about this great man of God, Abraham. And can we move on? And again, a number of occasions, God comes to Abraham. He said, look, your wife Sarah, she's going to have a child. But you got impatient. You got impatient. And him and Sarah made an agreement that, look, Abraham, if you sleep with the slave that we've got from Egypt, if you sleep again with Hagar, again, she'll give us a child. And that's true. Again, he slept with the slave girl, and Ishmael was born. And that became a problem again in Abraham's life. You see, God's in the waiting. There's times that we haven't had to go ahead at our speed. See, Abraham thought he could make a solution. He thought that God was in this, but he didn't wait in God. See, it was Sarah was going to have the children's promise. It wasn't going to be Hagar. The promised son was Isaac. It wasn't Ishmael. And we have to come and realize, hey, God, you're Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I've got to wait upon your timing and these sort of things. And there came the time that Abraham's 99, Sarah's 89, and three angels, and one of them was the Lord, it says, and I came and visited Abraham in a tent. He didn't dwell in the cities, he was a tent dweller. When God said, move, I'm ready to move, I haven't put my roots down. And he dwelt in the tents. And that's for each one of us today. Are we ready to move when God wants us to move in ministry? Move in our life, whatever the case might be, whatever put our roots down, we're firmly planted, are we ready to move when God wants us to move? Again, on a basis. And the angel comes and says, hey, you're going to have a child. And you're going to call his name Isaac. Before Isaac was born, they've been told, by this time next year, you're going to have a baby. Deborah, I'd have never said that to you and Daniel, eh? Right? But imagine, eh? The promise of God in your life as a couple. In a waiting, and we're looking forward again to God, what God's going to do. For other couples here, it's been praying, God, give us a child. Again, be patient and pray and wait in God's timing again in your life, because God again will bless you again in that basis. God again is in the waiting, Jehovah Jireh. And we come back to 22. We come back to Genesis 22. And when we come to Genesis 22, that beginning, Isaac's been born. And I'm thinking everything in Abraham's life has now come into alignment. Eh? God has answered, again, the prayers. God has been faithful. He's came and he's visited Abraham a number of times. And the son Isaac was born to Sarah. And everything is now in alignment in the old man's life. Everything's good. Everything's good. And God comes along at this time and everything's in alignment. And it basically changes everything. And things happen when everything is actually being in alignment. And there's this journey up that hill, and he's questioning God, look, if you've promised me this child, why have I to lay him down? This is your promise. And yet remember, God wanted Abraham's heart, and God came, and that day when Abraham was going to kill his son, his only son, Isaac, whom he loved, and God came and do your son no harm. And then in the thorn bush in the thicket was caught a ram again to provide. And that ram was replaced. And again, when God came to us, we should have been on that altar for the sins that we have done. But God came and gave his son, our substitute, for each one of us. I want to tell you, God is good. Again, he is my provider. He is my Jehovah Jireh again in my life. And the same again in your life. A few weeks ago, and I'll just get the first picture up again here, a few weeks ago, again in the Philippines, and this is where Neil asked me to share a story, just at the end of my message again this morning. 11 years ago, at this time, came as a family. We were in the Philippines for the first time. And when we travelled from Manila all the way to the area that we go, Pastor Mark Rucci, again, he comes from Fraser, he actually drove us all the way up. And that was great because we learned about the culture of the country. Everything was brand new. It was completely different from what we used in the UK. And we were driving, and I took a picture on a highway. And it was a tricycle. We'll show it in a second. But I took this picture, which I'm going to tell a little bit more in a second. But for 11 years, I had this picture on my computer as a screensaver. For 11 years, every time I switched this computer on, up came this picture of mountains in the background, in a valley, and some kids in the back of a motorbike, a tricycle, on their way back again from school. For 11 years, I switched my computer. And at one time, this picture was lost when we changed computer. Daniel Cox isn't here today, but I wasn't a happy chappy. I'm telling you, I wasn't happy, Neil. Not at all. And thankfully, he found the picture on a hard drive and restored it. And I can tell you, I was happy ever after, okay? And but just get the next picture, AJ, okay? And this is the actual picture that was taken. I looked at this picture for 11 years on my computer. It probably means nothing to you, but for 11 years, I've looked at this picture with mountains in the background. You need to understand, mountains in the background. There's rice fields, there's a couple of mango trees here, and there's these kids on the back of a tricycle. Now, this visit to the Philippines, we were going to different places, and this pastor invited us to go, and I found out the town that we were going to go to was not far from where this picture was taken. Because on the T-shirt of the boy in the top there, I zoomed in, and I was able to find out, I could zoom in on the right, and it told me the town, the school that the guy went to. So I was able to work it out in a map where this town was in the direction that the guy was going. And I pinpointed this town. And this was the town we were going to go to meet this pastor. And then he was a church planter. Then we were going to go up into the mountains to visit a number of his churches. And I was really, really excited because I was going to pass this point. And on my part, I got the picture on my part. So when we're going down the road, this is going to be a 5 hours journey to the church we're going to visit, okay? 5 hours. We were to leave at 4:30 on a Sunday morning. Imagine that. Grace and myself, Grace Louise's got a different church, she's got a long line. But we were going to travel 5 hours to go to church. And it wasn't a mega church we were going to, as you'll find out. 5 hours journey, we're going to pass this town. Now I'm all excited, and Pastor Winston was a driver or again, our vehicle. And we're coming down the road. Pastor Josie Cohen, her husband, again, Albert is in the back, and Grace. And I'm in the front with Winston driving. And I've got the iPad, and I'm driving the road, and we're looking for this spot where this picture was taken. And then in the distance, we saw the mountain. And I knew the valley, but we're getting close. And then I saw the two trees. And in a moment in my life, everything came into alignment. On a picture that I've looked at for 11 years on my screensaver. I've looked at, I've wondered, I've pondered it in 11 years, and I'm so happy I've came into alignment with this picture. In 400 metres, I just put my iPad into my bag, and 400 metres after this point, when everything is in alignment, from the side of the road comes a guy in a racer bicycle, and he isn't a look to her way. And we're coming down about 45, 50 mile an hour. And this guy has just come into the road. And we're going to hit the guy at 40 to 50 mile an hour. Okay? Come into this town. I knew instantly we were going to kill this guy. Or he was going to be just in bits. Getting a big, big hospital case. In the Philippines, there's no NHS. So if you knock somebody over, you have to pay the big bill. Or worse, if the person dies, you'll have to pay a big compensation, and the driver will probably end up in prison for a few days for his protection from the person who's been killed, relatives. Okay? And in this moment, we see the guy, I thought, this guy's dead. And I put my head down, thinking, all the ministry, everything we've planned for this day is gone. It's gone. It's gone. This guy's going to be killed, and everything's going to happen. Josie goes in the back, she was more spiritual than myself, and she cried out, "Name of Jesus!" And we hug the guy, and we hug the bicycle, and I couldn't look up. I thought the guy's dead. And my heart completely just changed. And but Josie could cried out, "Name of Jesus!" And we looked up. Grace had looked up before I did, and the guy had been thrown from a bicycle. And the miracle was this, the guy got up. He wasn't killed. He didn't even have broken bone in his body. He had scratches and he's bruised, and the bicycle was obviously in a mess. We thought, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. In the name of Jesus, the Lord has provided for us in that moment. And I can tell you, I couldn't believe it. I said, this is impossible in the natural, but in the supernatural and spiritual, I have to believe in God. That in my eyes, I've seen a miracle because this guy should be dead. Fortunately, again, the guy admitted he'd done wrong, and there's witnesses the side of the road. But they said the same thing, that guy did wrong, and we were able to, pounds was changed for the guy's bike, and we were able to go. And we then came into the town, and we met the pastor. We were going to meet him up in the mountains, and we were all shaken up. And with something little to eat, Ken, and some sugar meal, okay. I got off, just to steady us, and I shared what had happened, and I shared this picture with this pastor, and he said, "Oh, that picture, I've got a church at the bottom of that mountain." He said, "I'm a church planter, I've planted over 20 churches. You've looked at that picture for 11 years?" He was amazed. He said, "I've got a church," and he named the mountain. And he said, "We're not going to this side of the valley today, we're going that side of the valley, and we're actually going over that mountain today." And we went 2.5 hours, seriously, an hour up the road, got this valley over the hill, then another 1.5 hour off-road, up a single track, we forded two rivers, and then passing churches. This guy, that's my church. I planted that one, small churches, because people couldn't travel to a city. And then we're right at the top of the mountain. Maybe this video, I'll play it kind of in the background here. We came to this not mega church, 20 or 30 people, kind of in the countryside. And I realised, and just to blow him up a little. And I realised the spirit of the God was there. And we are worshipping. We've worshipped. And it's just a dirt floor. And look at the pews. Just made of wood. Just knocked together. And there's always the dog in the Philippines. If there's not a dog, it's not a proper church in the Philippines. And I was just touched. And we got to go there. Traveled nearly 5 hours. And we'd seen God's hand. Just a wooden building, and then you'll see the countryside where we came to just in a second. And just this camera swings round here, and we're right up the top of the mountains, looking over a valley. And I thought, wow, I've looked at that picture for 11 years, and today I've got to the top of the mountain, and I've seen something that I've never ever seen before. And I saw God there, and I saw God move in an incredible, incredible way. And just as the band is coming up, and again, as we maybe split the volume down, I actually felt encouraged to tell you this today. The Lord is my provider, Jehovah Jireh. For 11 years, we'd gone up and down that same highway. We'd passed that place where times were flowing, and yet I never knew with the picture. I'll get the picture up again, AJ. For 11 years, I never knew what was at the other side of that mountain. And I want to tell you this, yes, my heart is burning for you as individuals. For Apex Church, my heart is burning. We've been going up and doing a highway for a number of years, since January 2012. We've been in this building, and when we came together with Harvest Church, New Hope in Harvest, and Apex Church came as founded. And we've been on this journey together. We've been going up and doing this highway. And I really feel my burden today at Apex Church There's something over another side of that mountain. And unless we're prepared to travel, what an Abraham had to do, to take his Isaac and to go up a mountain and to travel, we'll never know as a church or individually what's at the other side of that mountain. We will face trials, there'll be difficulties, there'll be tests along the way. But if we're faithful in awaiting to say, God, I'm ready to go. I've been on this journey. I've gone so blinkered, just gone up and down, but today, I know what's at the other side, again in the mountain. I want to encourage you in your life. What's on the other side of the mountain in your life? What's the thing that you've got to get over? I'll say that again. What's the thing in your life that's maybe holding you back and you've got to get over spiritually to get to the other side of the mountain? As a church, as with the leaders, and the ministry leaders, what is it that we have to do to get to the other side of the mountain? See, something we've never seen before. To reach the lost, to see people's lives changed for time and for eternity. That's our challenge today, that we can say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider.